Well, good morning. Let me get this adjusted here. This morning, I would like to, as simply as I can, present the gospel in the time that is before me. This is really the job of an evangelist, you know, and I am not an evangelist. Nonetheless, we are told to do the work of an evangelist by times. That is what happens. So, this morning, I want to, as simply as I can, bring to you a gospel message, and I would like to begin by making no unwarranted assumptions. I would like to begin by defining the word gospel. Gospel is a word that is kind of badly abused out there. It's made to mean many things, but we want to restrict our definition to what the scripture says. The Bible is our sole authority for saying what we say. We don't want to go outside of it. We don't want to bring in things that are currently done, say, in the vernacular. And so we want to define the word gospel. It simply means good news. And in the Bible, it is the good news of God. It is the good news of Christ, and it is the good news of your salvation. The gospel is called that. It is called the gospel of God because he is the author of it. It is called the gospel of Christ because he was the one who accomplished it. And it is called the gospel of your salvation because you are the intended beneficiary of it. It is for you. It is for you. Now, the gospel is defined very clearly in one of the Corinthian epistles. Paul defines it this way. He says, "For I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures." And that is the core of the gospel message. The core of the gospel message. We could say that of the many verses that statements in scripture that describe aspects of the gospel, we could say this verse describes the gospel of God as the author of it. "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commends his love toward us, in that while we were even sinners, Christ died for us." And we could use this verse to describe Christ as the accomplisher of God, the gospel. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved." That's Acts 4 and 12. And the gospel of your salvation, you would be the beneficiary of it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life." These are merely samples of many verses that describe these aspects of the gospel. Now, I'd like to this morning present this message under three different headings. We're going to have it as three marked out things. The first one is a time marked out. The second is a place marked out. And the third is a man marked out. A time marked out is a time to die. The place marked out is a place of torments called hell. And a man marked out, Jesus as Savior. And if I can use those three headings to develop what I would like to bring to your attention this morning, I trust that God will bless this to us. A time marked out. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a time and a place under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Our Bible tells us that our time to die is by God's appointment. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. The question is, when may that happen? And that's so absolutely important. Do you know the most important thing that you are ever going to do is to die? Because when you die, you will have sealed your eternity. It will be too late to do anything about it after that. So it's very important that you die right. Let's look at three things that are important about dying. This year, this night, this day. We're going to read what Scripture says about these. And the first is in Luke chapter 13. We're going to do a fair bit of reading this morning. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think they were all sinners, or sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Note the repetition of that. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he didn't find any. He said to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking of this fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? But he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I want you to notice the words, this year. This year. This year tells us of a second chance, an extended opportunity. The fig tree, the parable of the fig tree, illustrates the use of a true earthly story capable of bearing a spiritual application. This fig tree was useless. It was taking up space. It was taking up ground. It was drawing oxygen from the atmosphere, and it was bearing no fruit. As a fig tree, it was a dead loss. And the owner of the orchard simply said, It's been there long enough. It's bearing no fruit. Cut it down and plant something else in its place that will bear fruit. And the orchard keeper says, No, he said, let's pay some special attention to it. I'll do what I have to do to make it bear fruit, and if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. If it won't respond to what I'm doing, it really is no good, cut it down. Now the story here, the spiritual application of this story is that you and I are on this earth by God's good grace. We have no right, we have no title to be here. We are here by God's good grace. And so the question then is, whatever has God gotten from you by way of fruit for him? He is your creator after all. You are accountable and you are responsible to him. And he did not put you on this earth to waste away your time and energy. He put you here that you might bring glory to his name. And has that ever happened? And if it hasn't happened, what is wrong with the idea of God saying, this person has wasted enough, cut him down? God has a right to do that. God has a right to say, it's time for you to die. Not just necessarily of old age. Because you don't bring any glory to God. Because there is nothing for God in your life. God who rains down every day countless blessings on your life, and you never even think of saying thank you. Nothing in your life suggests that you have any appreciation for the God who made you. Like that fig tree, you bear no fruit for God. And he might say, the justice of God might say, cut him down, cut her down. But the mercy of God says, let's give it time. How much time? This year? Will that be time enough? What is it that God does when you are being given an extended opportunity? What he does is he brings to bear upon you, through the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, it's because you don't have a proper conviction of sin. Or if you do, you have declined to receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit as to your need before God as a sinner, hell-bound, and in need of forgiveness, in need of remission of your sins. The Holy Spirit is active in this world today. And the Holy Spirit will bring to your attention your need before God. That is the activity of the man who takes special care of that fig tree. The Holy Spirit will bring to your attention all of these things. You cannot not know these things. This year, if there is no response, cut it down. Do you know whether you have a year left of life? No, you don't. There's all kinds of people out there who thought they did and they didn't. So let us look at a man who thought he probably did and he didn't. We're going to look at this man in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. but God, said unto him, You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you, then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that saveth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This year, this night, here is a man who thought he had all kinds of years. He didn't even have that night. That night, that rich farmer found himself in eternity, all unexpected. Did he die right? He did not die right. This was a man who went out into eternity with no hope. All of his treasure was on earth. He had no treasure in heaven. Let us move on to another one. This day. This again is in Luke chapter 23. And this is right in the middle of the crucifixion account. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors, one of the criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we just stop our reading there. I said about dying right. This year, this night, this day, do you know that you have even this day? That thief on the cross, that criminal on the cross, knew he didn't have that day. He knew that by the time sunset, he would be dead, and he would be in eternity. I don't know how this man knew anything about the Lord Jesus. Maybe he heard him preach. Maybe he heard him teach. But he knew this. He knew that he was the Lord. He knew that he had a kingdom, and he knew that he wanted to be in that kingdom. He wanted to die right, and he did die right. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So that's the first of the three things, a time marked out to die this year, this night, this day. You don't know that you have a year. You don't know that you have a night. You don't even know that you have today. We want then to look at this place marked out. This place marked out is recorded in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there is between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us who would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one be risen from the dead. That night, this man went to that place. What kind of a place is it? Our story tells us that this man was rich. And in the culture of that day, riches indicated favor from God. Most likely he thought he was one of God's favorites, and we can conclude that when he woke up in hell, he was probably the most surprised man there. It was the last place he expected to be. This place marked out, this place of torment, a place to escape from going to. Many people are like this man. They think they're too good to go to hell. And they die with that idea. And they open their eyes in hell and wonder how they got there. Well, this man was there. His body was in the grave. But in hell, he was there. He had eyes he could see with. He had a fully functioning nervous system that could register heat and pain and distress. He had a tongue with which he could speak. And with which he wanted a drop of water to cool him. And he wasn't going to get anything like that. What will hell be like? I have heard careless, foolish, silly people making silly, foolish remarks. Well, I guess I'll go to hell, but it won't be so bad. I'll be so busy shaking hands with all my friends, I won't have time to notice. Stuff like that. Listen, hell is a place where there will be none of God's blessings. All of these blessings that you take for granted today will not be there. No blue sky, no warm winds, no rain, no green grass, no flowers. Get the message? None of God's blessings, no fellowship, no companions, no friends, no love, nobody anywhere's near you, all by yourself. Nobody will know you're there. Your friends may be there, but they won't be there for you. What is there? Our Lord said, there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Our story tells us that you will crave what you had on earth and you won't be able to get it, and you won't be able to forget it. Water was what he craved, but he never got so much as a drop. This was a man who suddenly became interested in evangelism in hell. Isn't that interesting? He wasn't one bit interested on earth, but he became very interested in hell. He had five brothers. He would like somebody to go from the great beyond to warn them. And Abraham says to him, no. There is nowhere beyond death a platform from which an evangelistic effort can be launched. Not in hell. Not in heaven. Only from earth. Do you get that? Only from earth. The sole source of authority is this book. It's got nothing to do with philosophy or speculation or religion or any of these things. It has solely to do with what is in this book. What did Abraham say to him? Your brothers have got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, you've got your Old Testament. It is sufficient evidence for what you need. And if somebody did rise from the dead, it wouldn't convince them anyway. The only thing that will convince and convict is this book and what's in it. And so when you have these stories that are going around today about people who have been to heaven and come back, and people who've been to hell and come back, and they have all kinds of descriptions, and this is supposed to impress people, listen, this book is the authority. And if you will not be convinced by what's written in here, you will not be convinced by anything else. God's accredited messengers were Moses and the prophets to this man. God's accredited messenger to you today is the contents of this book. So we have looked at a time marked out, a time to die, this year, this place, or rather this night, this day. We have looked at a place marked out, a place of torments. Now we want to look at a man marked out. We'll look at Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What they said was true. But what they said in disapproval of him. They didn't think that the Lord Jesus should have been interested in receiving sinners. They thought that he should be interested in getting along with those who were the respectable people in society. But the Lord said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And our Bible says that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners to save them. And so we have this man marked out by sinners as the Savior. We have him marked out by heaven as God's authorized speaker. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And what does he say? We've already read what he said. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He also said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. And he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He also said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we have this man marked out by the criminal on the cross as one of innocent of any wrongdoing. So we have this man marked out by sinners, marked out by heaven, marked out by a criminal. and marked out as the Savior of sinners. And this is where we need to be today. Virtually, I'm going to say virtually because I don't know, but I think I'm right in saying this, that every religion out there is about what you can do to earn your salvation. Christianity is not about that. Christianity is not about what you can do to earn your salvation. It's not what you can do to work for. It's about the work that was already done. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in a system. It is not in a church. It is not in a philosophy. It is in a person. And Christianity is unique, as far as I know, above all other religions, that it's in a person. Salvation is something you get from Jesus Christ. And you get it on the basis of the work that he did on Calvary's cross, which satisfied God. God was the one who had to be satisfied. And when our Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, it simply means that God was finished with the sin question. God, who was the author of salvation, we said, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the accomplisher of salvation, now makes that salvation available to you as a beneficiary of it. And it is for you. It is for you. It was designed for you. It was made for you. It is available to you. How are you going to get it? How are you going to get it? If the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives it, and the Bible says he is. He said in his prayer to his Father in John 17, "For as many as those that you have given me, I have given them eternal life." You're going to get your salvation from him. You get your salvation, you get your eternal life from him. Only fitting, he's the one who died to give it to you. Why shouldn't he be the one to give it to you? So how do you get it? Hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is the core of the gospel message. Paul, in his talk with the Ephesian elders, said this, that he went about preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance comes first. Except you repent, says the Lord Jesus, you're going to perish. To repent means to change your mind. Repent means to agree with God. Repent means to abandon all hope of self-salvation. Repent means to stop working for your salvation. Repentance means to turn your back on whatever you were doing and turn your face to God and agree with him. You are the sinner for whom Christ died. And when you have got there, there's only one other place for you to go. Well, there are two places to go. You can simply say, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to reject. Or you can say, I'm going to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. I'm going to make him responsible for my salvation. I'm going to make him responsible to take me home to heaven. I am trusting my eternity to him. I am not trusting anything else that I can do. And when you do that and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are as saved as God can make you. But until then, you're not. And until then, you never will be. There is no salvation outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to know that, my friend, because this may be your year. This may be your night. This may be your day. And if you don't have your faith in that man whom God has designated as your Savior, you are surely going to that place that we read about, that place of torment, out of which there will be no escape. And it's so unnecessary for you to go there. God has put in your way every obstacle that he could to stop you on your downhill slide. And if you go there, it's going to be your own fault. God has made every provision to keep you out of hell. And if you negotiate every obstacle that he has put in place to stop you from going there, then you're going to go there. This year, do you know that you have a year? This night, do you know you have a night? This day, do you know you even have a day? No, you don't. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, stands there as your Savior, ready and willing to save you if you will have him on his terms. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It really is so, so simple. Do you know what it is? It's getting honest. Getting honest with God. Getting honest with God. When you're honest with God, you have no defense left. Honest with God says, I am the sinner for whom Christ died. Yes, God, you're right. I can't do anything to help myself. I can't work for salvation. Salvation is not even available by works. It's only available through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will have him and will take him as my Savior. And thank you for making this offer available to me. Something like that is all you need to say. But be honest before God. You really need to be honest. And that brings us to the end of this message. And we'll just close now in prayer. Father, we are told in thy word that thy word will not return unto thee void. I'm thankful for that. We're thankful for this gospel. This gospel which so many of us here heard and believed and received exactly as was promised, the forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins, the new birth, eternal life, membership in the family of God, a home in heaven for the future. Father, are there any people here today who are still not saved, who may have heard the gospel many, many times and failed to act, failed to receive Christ as Savior, betting that they have a year or two or three, betting that they will still be alive this day, betting that they will not be dead this night. Oh, Father, what a dangerous position to be in. We pray, our Father, that if there are any who have not yet repented of their sins and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will do it this day. Not to wait to this night, not to wait for this year, but to do it today. Today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, thy word says, and we believe it and we preach it and we pray that there may be any who are here this morning who need to trust Christ will do it today. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.